marriage instead of endeared to your marriage, something's not right. There are people just through character's sake are staying married, but there's not any joy in it. And man, that shouldn't be. That just should not be the way it is. That was not God's plan or design. So we're going to be covering some things that really pertain to mature marriages. So don't think, you know, it's for the young couples and the young people. They're still at that stage where you can't even convince them that they'll ever even have bad times, you know. A lot of these young couples, you know, when I'm doing premarital counseling, you know, one of the biggest challenges I face is convincing them that it'll ever be different. Convincing them that it'll ever be work. Right now, they can't stand to be apart. Right now, they can't stand 1 minute of not being together. Right now, every time that guy drops his girlfriend off at the doorstep, he's mad the whole way home, wishing he could be married today. How many songs have been written in the pop world community about how much you can't wait to be married? Well, people that are in new love, you can't hardly convince them that they'll ever have an argument, that they'll ever have a fight, that their mate will ever irritate them, or that they could ever be turned off by this person who they're so endeared to. And then comes a reality check. And that is the area we're going to be dealing with, people that are in that reality now. You know, it's like running a race. You ever run a race, Brother Nick? Remember when you were in the Marine Corps and you had to run all the time? You ever get in that where you're running and you're like, this ain't so bad. First mile, you're feeling pretty good. First mile can be worse than all of them, actually, to me, to get warmed up. But in any case, you know, then you hit that mile, you know, six, that mile seven, and fatigue starts to hit. Well, you know, and you start wanting to quit. You start wanting to drop out. You want to start faking an ankle injury or something. I remember coaches running us to death in high school and going through all that. Well, there's a lot of marriages that first couple of miles, man, they all feel good. They're got energy. They're feeling great. Then comes those miles of hardness. And so I hope you'll be dedicated to come. Now, in Matthew 19, go ahead and turn there. While you're turning to Matthew 19, I said go to Matthew, but I didn't give you a specific chapter. While you're turning there, let me read the leadoff verse that I have read every week. Proverbs chapter 5 says this in verse 15, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. It's talking about being content with what you have, with what God has given you, what belongs to you. Then it goes down to verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. We see that the wife of your youth should be the wife for your life. God wants you to spend your life with that bride that he gives you in your youth. And God's plan is for one mate, for one life. And we see that God wants us to rejoice in the wife of our youth. Not trade out the wife of our youth. Not abandon the wife of our youth. Not get tired of the wife of our youth. But to rejoice as we age in the wife of our youth. Now we see that divorce is not a modern day only issue. We see that divorce and marriage troubles go back to the ancient days. And I've told this before, I think, but even Adam and Eve, I think, had a few marriage problems, you know. I heard one time that I was in theology school and they were talking about this. They, you know, this is in that you know, that those fine lines in the middle that one time Eve really got suspicious of Adam when they were in the Garden of Eden, and she thought that he was stepping out on her with another woman. So she accused him of it, Brother Ron. She said, Adam, I know there's somebody else. I want to know who she is. He looked at her and he said, Eve, who else is there? She said, okay, all right, that's your defense. All right. Nonetheless, when he fell asleep later, she counted his ribs just to make sure. Amen. That was good, Timmy. You need to write that down one day and use it. She counted his ribs just to make sure. Hey, marriage trouble is not something unique to our day and age. It goes all the way back to biblical times, so much so that Moses allowed a law of divorcement in marriages. And I pointed this out. I'm not going to go through it again, but the law of divorcement was actually there to protect women and to give women some rights. And people can say what they want about Christianity, but Jesus Christ brought rights to women greater than any leader in the history of the world. He brought dignity to women, respect to women. He brought a relationship in marriage that women were treated as partners, not as property. And we see those teachings, and we see that all through the Word of God. It is not a biblical plan that a man take a wife and treat her like a slave. That is not what God wanted. That was never the intention of God. But we see that they have this. And so in Matthew 19, the question is asked, look at verse 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? we see that even in biblical days, the good old days, if you will, marriage problems were there. And then we see that Jesus, without being wordy, without going into a whole seminar, he literally hits the nail on the head of why people have marriage problems. He says this in verse 8. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. We see that the core element in a troubled marriage can be found in this one phrase, the hardness of your hearts. You've got a heart issue. Your heart is not what it should be in your marriage. And we pointed out that a hard heart is a rebellious heart, a stubborn heart, a loveless heart, a selfish heart, a heart void of conscience. This hard heart does not care about what is right, does not care about what God wants. It does not care what is best for the marriage and the family that it has produced. It does not care what its actions will cause or produce. It cares about itself and what it wants. So this type of heart is what is destroying marriages and homes today, just as it did then. We've given some statistics and some facts, which is where we've been, and I'm going to wrap this up tonight. We pointed out that often immaturity is a big problem in marriages, and people are getting married a little older. We're seeing the divorce rates improve, and it's actually been on an upswing since the mid to late 80s, with the average person now getting married at 29 or 30 years old. That's the average age of marriages happening today. So we're seeing that marriages are happening later in life for a lot of people, and with that maturity, they're seeing a greater success. Now, I've had a lot of talks with some of you as I've been teaching this. A lot of people have come up to me and said, you know, I agree with what you're saying, but, you know, me and my mate got married. Margaret, how old were you when you got married, Margaret? You had to stop and think. That was so far back there. 19, and your husband was also, he was 20, you were 19, and y'all were high school sweethearts. So, you know, it works. I mean, there are times that people's marriages can supersede some of these facts that we've looked at. I mean, there are lots of marriages that have been successful, and people have been married at young ages. But they do say that the fact that many people are getting a lot of that immaturity out of the way, that the divorce rate is dropping and success is on an uptick. Now, with that said, the numbers are still not good. It means that it's doing better than it used to do, but it's still pretty rough. There's still a lot of divorce in America, and we looked at it. We looked at the top 10 careers with the highest divorce rates, and some of those things were absolutely not a shock at all. Some of them required some explanation. We had to examine that. We had a lot of good feedback, and we pointed out that sometimes a person's career can lead to literally having marriage problems. Now we're going to conclude this whole thought. And the reason I started out with all this is to just simply prove and show that there can be an erosion in marriage, that marriage and divorce is a national problem, and that we've got to be aware of it. We've got to see the need for continuing our education in marriage. We've got to continue to develop our skills to be married, because there is an enemy out there that hates the institution of marriage. Satan hates your home. He hates your marriage. He hates your children. He hates the Bible that you're trying to run it with. And the devil loves nothing more than to destroy anything that God has formed to organize this earth with. He is against it. He works against any nature that God has established. God established the nature of marriage for there to be an order in this world, and the devil is for disorder. So he has been very effective, and we need to continually work. There's nothing better. Let me say this. There's nothing the devil loves more than to destroy the marriage of a Christian home, and it's very damaging, because the world would like to look at us and say, hey, there's no difference. These people go to church, and they don't have a better marriage. They don't have anything better than what we've got. Why put the effort out there? So the reality is, the devil has a great trophy when he can take a Christian marriage and destroy it. That trophy he can hang on his wall as a big trophy. Yep. Beloved, the devil wants to ruin your home, and you better be aware that he's out there walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now we're going to look at the top reasons for divorce in today's American marriages. This is according to several websites. I have them listed there. The things that gave me this information, they were pretty consistent with each other when they're listing. So here it is. Letter A, top reasons for divorce in today's American marriages. Letter A, lack of commitment to what it takes to make a marriage work, also known as irreconcilable differences. Often you'll be watching ET Entertainment tonight, and you'll be shocked when you hear that your favorite movie star and his wife is getting a divorce. You're like, what? I mean, if Tom Cruise can't stay married, who can? If billionaires with everything can't make a marriage work and be happy, who in the world can be successful? Yeah. If beautiful people that spend hours on their beauty daily in the gym and getting surgeries and they can make themselves look 30 to 40 years younger than they really are, if those people can't keep a mate at home, what hope does anybody have? But you'll often hear them report, this power couple is now divorcing. And you'll hear them say they filed for divorce. And the reason, irreconcilable differences. What does that mean? Well, let me give some explaining here. As Ricky would say to Lucy, you got some splaining to do. Let me do some splaining tonight. All the young people are like, huh? Who? What? Aren't you glad you lived in the time of life that you could appreciate I Love Lucy?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. This irreconcilable differences, lack of commitment to what it takes to make a marriage work, this is cited as the number one cause of divorce in America, with 70% of all divorces being blamed on this one thing. Now, this includes, now listen to me carefully because I'm going to explain what that really means. It includes a failure to prioritize marriage above all else and an unwillingness to make any sacrifice, investment, or adjustment for the good of or needs of the marriage. That's really what that means. It's a couple that is not prioritizing their marriage. They cannot come together on what they both want. They both want something else. It's often the result of two people that each want something different in life and are unwilling to compromise to make the marriage work. They grow apart or are simply torn apart because they will not do what it takes to make it all work. Marriage requires some things. It requires acceptance. It requires accommodation. It requires investment. The number one reason people in America are divorcing today, 70% of all divorces on record go back to that one phrase, irreconcilable differences. It's two people who couldn't make the other a priority. Sometimes you got to adjust yourself. Sometimes you got to sacrifice of yourself and your goals and your needs in a marriage partnership. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes it means things that aren't that important to you, but are important to your mate, become important to you. There's a lot of couples that are in trouble. They're fighting a lot because they cannot find that common ground. They do not feel the other values the other, and they end up in this irreconcilable differences. Differences they just cannot reconcile with each other. And so we see a big problem in the American marriage of people with different goals. They came together, they formed a partnership, even in that partnership often formed a family, and now they can't seem to come together on what they both want. Again, we discussed that pre-marriage scriptural advice. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Often these are couples that did not come together in their pre-marriage era and decide on what they wanted in their marriage. Sometimes it could be a partner that wants to have children, married to somebody who does not want to have children. By the way, couples, if you're dating and you want to be a mom and you date a guy who's a... Listen, I pastored three people in Orlando that at 19 to 20 years old had vasectomies because they did not want to ever be fathers. Reasons such as I was in a horrible home, I don't know how to be a dad, I didn't have a dad, and I would be a horrible father. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Whoever marries him better be secure and settled in the fact that you're not going to be a mom. And it won't do you any good to fight with that person for the next 20 years over trying to have children, because that's going to be an irreconcilable difference. You know how many couples marry and they never once discuss the possibility of even having children? You know how many times I've been told by people that I had no idea when I married her she never wanted to be a mom? And now they're fighting over this all the time. Or it could be over their religion, or it could be over politics. We've already looked at a lot of this, but They come to a place they cannot reconcile the differences they have, and all they do is fight about it. They're not willing to make any compromises. They're not willing to make any acceptance. And so this is going to drive their marriage apart. Number two, second largest cause of divorce in America is infidelity, or what the Bible calls adultery. 34% of marriages yearly divorce due to adultery. This often happens simply due to temptation and opportunity. Often it'll be somebody who doesn't want to wreck their marriage and is not unhappy necessarily with their mate to the point they want a divorce, but maybe simply were exposed to temptation and opportunity. And often when those two things come together, bad things can happen. When your temptation meets the opportunity to be tempted successfully, often failure is the result. There's a lot of marriages that one partner standing there bumfounded because he didn't even know he had a bad marriage. Now he's found out his wife has got a boyfriend somewhere or the man's got a girlfriend somewhere. Well, a lot of times it wasn't that they didn't want to be married to you. It wasn't that they had a bad marriage necessarily. Sometimes it was strictly the devil struck with temptation and placed him in an opportunity, and that's where a lot of people end up. But sometimes it's due to carelessness and a lack of boundaries. Listen to me, it's better for you to avoid temptation than to battle it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen to me, I want to encourage you men, have some boundaries with women, because a lot of you do not want to lose your wife to infidelity on your part, and you might because of what I just said, opportunity and temptation, carelessness without boundaries. I have counseled couples many times over the last 36 years that unfortunately, Christian couples, and the devil doesn't have any boundaries, whether you're a church member or not. Temptation, man, he, like I said, he's going to come at everybody. Here's the thing. How many times I've heard Brother Kevin, somebody say, I never meant for this to happen. I never believed I would do this. This is not what I wanted. I didn't think this would. What happens a lot is carelessness, lack of boundaries. Every single year, I'll hear of a pastor friend of mine, somebody that I know walked with God, loved God. Just about 2 months ago, I got word that a good friend of mine got involved with a woman in his church, lost his ministry that he's been pastoring since 1987. That's a lot of loss. There was nothing in that that would be worth what he has lost. Now, I don't believe for a minute that he wanted to hurt his wife. I don't believe he wanted to disappoint his kids in a 500-member church, but I do believe that he failed to put some boundaries where they need to be, that he was in a place of temptation and opportunity, and it got him. Men, I want to encourage you, have some boundaries with women. If you work with women, set some boundaries. Don't be out taking them to lunch by yourself. Don't be out meeting them at restaurants. Don't be that company counselor that sits in the parking lot with women after work and counsels them. If you value your marriage, you better set some boundaries. And listen, women, you do the same. You say, well, we're just friends. Oh my goodness, how many times that has been said? You need to set some boundaries and set some rules for yourself and for each other. You know, with this day and age of cell phone use and all these different ways to communicate where it can be clandestine, it can be secret. Listen, your mate ought to have your passwords. They ought to know how to get on your phone. They ought to know how to get on your computer. And you ought not throw a big fit and say, you're invading my privacy. You know, every time anybody says that, they usually have something to hide. Yeah. Am I right about that? I know my wife's her password for her cell phone. She knows mine. There is not an easy way for me to be able to do things through those mediums because there's several people who have the passwords to my computers and my cell phones. I regularly hand my computer to Brother Kyle or Miss Kristen and say, there's an issue. Can you fix it? They have my passwords. They know how to get on my stuff. I've regularly handed my phone to people that can work on it. Listen, people who have something to hide are people hiding. And it's a big red flag whenever you're somebody who's so protective over your social media stuff and you don't want your mates to see it and you're hiding it. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Your lack of boundaries is going to get you in trouble you don't want. And it's usually people who don't want this. They sincerely are not looking to get in trouble. But trouble has a tendency to find people who are not careful. So we see carelessness, lack of boundaries. But more than often, due to a spouse, now this is important, you better hear me on this. More than often, it's due to a spouse seeking to escape from a marriage that holds other faults, infractions, and dissatisfactions in it. Well, one of the most horrible and sad stories in the Bible is the story of David and Bathsheba. How many of you are familiar with that? You ever really stop and ponder that story, what happened there? You think about this. David sees Bathsheba. There's your opportunity and your temptation intersecting. All right? Husband is gone. There's the lack of boundary. There's no protector watching over this. All right? David gets involved with her, and it's a horrible shame, horrible sin. Now, think about this. David calls home Uriah and says, go home and be with your wife. Uriah is a soldier. He takes a stance. I can't go home and be with my wife while my brothers are in battle. So he sleeps on the steps of the palace, and he won't go home. Now, it's character. It's for a good reason. He's got some character. But he does have a wife at home who has not seen him in a long time. David tells him to go home, be with your wife. He doesn't do it. You know what I wrote in the margin of my Bible? What Uriah neglected, David collected. It was for a good reason. David, you know, we could brag on Uriah, but the truth is Uriah chose to take a wife. He didn't have to. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. But nevertheless, let every man take his own wife. You know, of course, it talks about that burn. We all know what that burn is, right? Yeah. You know, it's okay that if you don't have that burn. Some people don't have it. If you don't have the burn, you don't have to get married. Nobody has to get married. The Bible allows people to be single. Did you know that? You're not a bad Christian if you choose to remain single. If you don't want to take on the responsibilities of a relationship, if you don't have that physical burning inside of you, it's okay. But if you choose to take on a wife and you choose to take on a husband and enter into that, you now have some responsibilities. Uriah had a wife. He had a responsibility to that wife. And even though he had a good reason to neglect her, the result was still the same. And often in this category, we are seeing couples that it's not about the affair. The affair was a trap door. It was an exit strategy from a marriage where they have felt neglected and maybe abused, or there was faults and fractions in a marriage that brought great dissatisfaction for a long time. This does not make it right, but it's understandable how it can happen. In a recent poll, 71% in that poll admitted to cheating on their mate. That was on the Psychology Today website. I thought that was an extremely high number, but you know what? They were polling people, not church people, worldly people. In the world, 71% admitted to at some point cheating on their mate. I thought that was crazy. 31% of affairs happen with a coworker, and the likelihood goes up as they go up the corporate ladder that they will cheat. Men are more likely to have affairs that start out. Now listen to this carefully, guys. Listen to me. Men are more likely to have affairs that start out physical and with a person that means nothing to them. But women were more likely to have affairs with people that develop an emotional relationship with them first, that then develops into a physical relationship, often with feelings that are now deep set. Often, the women find, after being emotionally invested, that she is with a man that is only physically invested. Studies show that men are more likely to have an affair due to the opportunity mixed with lust, boredom, lack of regular intimacy with their spouse, seeking a confidence boost due to midlife crisis, stress, struggles in his life, or to just see if he still has what it takes to attract another. Some are just amoral and lack any self-continence. So we see that in the study of why men do this. Number five, studies show that women are more likely to have an affair out of weariness and frustration within her relationship. Feelings of being neglected, unneeded, or underappreciated. They also may engage in infidelity out of curiosity, boredom, or romantic notions of a fresh start or the excitement of a secret hidden relationship. Often they will seek a new relationship to have somewhere to go after they leave the current marriage. Some are also just amoral and lack self-confidence. Number six, infidelity can be about power and manipulation, and it can be used as a way to get what they want and not at all be about love or romance. Some men love the thrill of getting a married woman to break her vows. Some women will use sensuality to intimidate and manipulate men to do what they want. Some affairs are born due to competition. Some are due to revenge. This is why stats of women in the workplace having affairs is very high. Sometimes sexuality can be weaponized to simply help you get what you want. These are all the results of studies, commentaries on this topic. We see that that is the second in the list of reasons the divorces happen in America. Number three, the third reason, lack of communication. Lack of communication. A lot of couples don't know how to communicate. The frustration of misunderstandings and often miscommunications of emotions, feelings, and thoughts that can lead to bitterness that fester when a couple simply does not understand how to relate to each other. It leads to much unhappiness and disputes with incorrect interpretations leading to irreparable hurts. Man, if you've been married any length of time, you've been there. My wife and I have certainly been there where you're having a conversation and something, usually me, I'm usually the guy that does it, but usually it can be a misinterpretation. You said something in a way that was misinterpreted, which then hurts or puts the other on a defensiveness. Have y'all ever had that happen? Yeah. You're standing there after a few minutes, now you're in a big fight. And you're thinking, just 10 minutes ago, we were having a good time. We were laughing. We were cutting up. We were kissing and hugging. And now we're screaming at each other. And over what? What does this mean? You ever get into it and before you realize you're in it and you don't know how to get out of it? And everything you say at that point is now misinterpreted. Yeah. Your spirit, you know, the way you said, wasn't what you said, it's the way you said it. We've all done it. Honey, we've had that, haven't we? And I walk away sometimes. And by the way, that's usually the solution. Shut up! That's the solution. Just stop talking. I've had the middle of stuff, I'm sitting there thinking, how did we end up with this argument? What is happening here? What? And everything I'm trying to say is now going the wrong way. I'm just digging deeper and deeper. You know, sometimes I've had to say, you know, I'm going to go outside now. Or she has walked away. And then we stew over it for a few minutes. I go out in the yard. And I had this youth director named Brad Prince. He worked for me for about 7 or 8 years. One day I walked out and I saw my school principal was lighting him up. I mean, she was just chewing him out. That finger was, Lori Riles was 4'10". Little tiny lady. Brad was 6'2". And that finger was just, and I drove by and I looked over and saw it. For a moment, I thought I'll stop and intervene. Then I thought, nope, I'm going to keep on driving. I'm just going to leave the parking lot and get out of here. Because if I stop and intervene, I don't know how, but I become the reason at some point. So I just let her chew him out. Well, I call him when I get down the road about 2 minutes, 3 minutes later. And I said, hey, Brad. He said, yes, preacher. I said, I want you to go out to your, he lived behind the church. He had a big RV that he lived right behind the church. I said, I want you to go and I want you to get your dog named, he had a dog named Belle. I said, I want you just to kick Belle across the yard. He said, preacher, what? Why do you want me to kick Belle? I said, because I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. You're going to go home because you just got chewed out. You're going to get into it with Lori, your wife. His wife was named Lori as well. You're going to get into it with Lori. Then Lori's going to jump on your oldest daughter. Your oldest daughter is going to jump on your youngest daughter. She's not going to have anybody to jump on, so she's going to go out there and kick Belle across the yard. Why don't you just skip all the middle people and go kick Belle? He started laughing. But the truth is, we get into arguments a lot that are miscommunications and misinterpretations, misapplications. Sometimes we're mad at our boss. We come home and we talk to our wife in a rough way because we can't talk to our boss that way. Or we talk to our husband when we're really mad at our daughter who lives in Kentucky or something. So your husband gets it. And so it's a misapplication. And so this lack of ability to communicate becomes a big problem, and couples end up in big fights because there's just, they don't know how to relate their feelings and their emotions. And often we end up in an argument, and we stand there, we're in the trap, we've already stepped in, and we scratch our head and we say, how in the world did I end up in this fight? I wasn't trying to have an argument. This wasn't what I was trying to say. You ever have them repeat back when you say something? You say something, they say, oh, so what you're saying is, and you're like, no, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I meant at all. That's how they heard it. No one else has had that happen. Nick, has that ever happened to you? Never, not one time. Not one time. Mike, I know it's happening to you. No. I know. I see your wife shaking her head like this. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, you know, that advice I saw on the internet, the next time your wife is yelling at you and acting like she's crazy, just look at her and say, honey, you need to calm down. And that'll straighten them right out. They'll just. Or say, you know, you're acting crazy now. Don't ever say that. Margaret, don't ever. That they'll say, crazy, I'll show you crazy, I'll show you crazy. They go to a whole other level then. Oh, listen, we're having some fun with it. But the truth is, if you've ever stepped in that, it is so frustrating. And how many good nights have been ruined? And sometimes you can settle into a spirit of miscommunication where you're just, no matter what you say, it's not what they hear. No matter how you're trying to relay it, that's not the way it's landing. And before you know it, your mate just kind of has you in a way that everything you're saying is not being interpreted correctly, and vice versa. But if you've ever been in that, couples end up just in months long of fighting when really you boil it all back, it'll start out with a lack of communication. They just didn't communicate their feelings correctly, or they didn't relay their emotions correctly. And so we are seeing the third leading cause of divorce, according to statistics, is lack of communication in the relationship. They just never learned how to communicate with each other. They never learned how to relay their love. They never learned how to relay their feelings and their disappointments. You know, sometimes marriages need to have a good old fight. Sometimes you need to just get it on and have an argument, man. And you got to get things out of the way and clear the mechanism, so to speak. But you know, in that, there can be a lot of lack of communication that can linger for months. And it's a problem. It is a real, real problem. And it takes a lot of character and commitment to rise above a marriage that's hurting through these communication issues. But it's there. It's on the list. We see number four, financial problems. No shock there. Financial problems. Economic stress leads to fighting, blaming, exhaustion, and often a desire to run away from it all. Lots of people abandon their relationships because they're running away from insurmountable debts. There are men, especially if you look at America, the statistics of divorce in the 1930s during the Great Depression, it was just so common. People were leaving their wives and their kids. Men would just get up one day and go to work, never come home. They just hit the road. They would try to escape and run away from these financial burdens that are now part that come with having a family. But listen, beloved, we'll talk more about it at some point, but a big part of premarital counseling, when I give premarital counseling, is dealing with couples on their financial structure. Get some classes, do some things. Brother Nick, you went to one. What was the name of that one that you went to? You and your wife went to a financial counseling plan. Yes, and we've offered that here.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I heard.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The Lord's kind of laid this on my heart. Barbara Crowe brought this up to me one time. And she said, you know what happened to the churches in America? And she said, you know where everything went wrong with all this? I mean, left and right and everything else. She said, what went wrong was in World War II, mothers went to work and they never came home.
They never came home. Mm-hmm. America had shifted there, didn't we? Rosie the Riveter, yep.
That's another key thing. I mean, Debbie worked, but she had her summers, and she worked in the school with her kids. We were blessed with that. She never had to work, you know, with the finances. Mm-hmm. We've always lived underneath bond. Whether I was making $20,000 at the firehouse, you know, yeah. We lived underneath what I was making. So she never had to work. You know, she wanted to work as her ministry. You know, so, but
In most cases, couples are not in debt because they don't make enough money. They're in debt due to their impatience, their lack of wisdom and credit, creditors, credit cards, buying things. Yeah.
Because that thing, when it's turned off, you realize how much it's tormenting me. I gotta have this, and I gotta have that, and I gotta have this, and that. And next thing you know, your bank account's up. And you don't have nothing in the fridge.
A bit. It's so true, and keeping up with the Joneses, and it's a lot of young couples fall into that trap, and the impatience, kind of wanting to have things that they want immediately. You know, it's okay if you have to have some secondhand furniture that was given to you by somebody in the church for a little while. And then there's that joy of wanting and building up. A lot of couples go out there and they get in such insurmountable debt. I would encourage every young couple. That Dave Ramsey course is phenomenal. There's several ways you can take it. We've offered it here. In fact, we taught all of our school kids. Brother Mike Lemoy taught that whole program to our school kids here at Town East. And we've continued to use it as a curriculum choice over the years, because it's so important that people learn to manage their funds. In most cases, when you sit down with a financial planner, you'll find out that you actually do make enough to make it if you're willing to make some logical sacrifices. Remember in the story of Jonah, they started throwing things overboard to keep the boat from sinking? Sometimes you got to throw a few things overboard that you're fond of, but often that will be the solution versus having six jobs and your marriage suffers because you're wore out, you're tired, you're exhausted, and you're blaming each other for the debt. So, well, there's a lot more to that, but we got to move on here. We see letter E, number five, incompatibility. This is often the reported reason for divorce that leads to a couple that mutually agrees to dissolve their marriage. It is often seen in marriages that were rushed or immature marriages, where they were just sometimes too young to see these incompatible areas. These marriages usually had no pre-marriage counsel or training. These marriages often involved people that had little understanding of each other before they married. Now, catch this. They may have spent the time of courtship seeing if they were physically compatible. How many of you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they should have been talking, they were smooching the whole time. They should have been getting to know each other, but they were more interested in physicality. So often you'll see marriages where all they did was physicality, but ignored all the other areas. These marriages usually end early in the marriage. They simply cannot fulfill each other as they just do not want the same things, same direction, ideas, or same lifestyle. So incompatibility. Sometimes people marry and they just realize quickly, I have nothing in common with this person. There's zero goals, zero anything that I share with this person, and you wonder how they dated sometimes for a couple of years and never caught that, but it happens. Letter F, lack of family support is listed on the list of reasons people divorce. Disapproval from family and close friends can bring about a lot of stress and fracture. It often brings bad counsel and encouragement to divorce. About 43% of marriages state this as the reason their marriage failed. Often there is a dislike of your spouse by the people that knew you before, and their constant disapproval and berating can lead you to dislike your spouse in time. You know how it is. You go see your best friend and all she does is gripe about your husband the whole time she's with her. Why are you with that loser? Why are you with that guy? Man, what in the world? You could do so much better. You're with your friends. Why do you put up with that girl? And they constantly are berating and talking badly about your mate, your spouse. Well, it can wear you down. It can get in your head and that, you know, you could do better. You know, you're with your hairstyler. You're talking to her. She's your number one counselor, your hairstylist. You're telling her about your marriage woes, and she's like, you could do so much better, girl. You could do, listen, I got some friends I could introduce you to. Well, you know, that constant berating, that disapproval. Often, and this is a fact, often to win their approval and relationship back, you may have to leave your spouse. There are people who, to get their mom and dad to like them again, have to get a divorce. Mom and dad hate who you married, so they're not going to come around. And for you to get their approval back, maybe even the trust fund and the inheritance, you got to leave your mate. Do you think that ever happens? Do y'all think that happens? Nick, what do you think? It is, yes.
You know, me and my wife, we've been married for 21 years at least.
Wow.
And I still love that woman.
Amen.
Me
She's not here, so why don't you share a few of them? She's in the back, I think, back there. No, don't do that. She can watch it.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to sure. I don't want to go that one, but the rest of them, I don't even know what they were. And you know, and you, when you know that, you know the devil's in all those. You know,
yeah.
The devil's planting those seeds. But, mm-hmm. but I'll say this: with what Pastor's saying, the kings, not my parents, but the kings, they always told us that don't bring your problems and say, go back home.
Excellent.
And Debbie's, you know, when we were younger, Debbie would go over there and you know, want to handle whatever. Like, go back home. They don't want to hear. She's going to forgive me in a couple of weeks, you know, or 2 weeks. But it's going to be hard for the parents to forgive them. Mm-hmm. So I've even done that. I've done a J.D. King, you know, to about the bit, and he's like, I don't want to hear one word. Go back home. Get back in your own house. Yes, sir. You know, yep. That's serious wisdom. So when you get married and you have problems, don't dump it on your parents.
Mm. That's good advice. That's good. You're supposed to leave and cleave. You're supposed to figure these things out in your own home. And boy, I tell you, there's just a lot of marriages where the friends that knew you before you knew your mate work against it. And it's listed as one of the biggest reasons people divorce. And I think we understand what's described there. Let me give this next one here. Emotional or physical abuse is on the list. Couples that get in a marriage where there's emotional or physical abuse. Many couples have marriages that contain this, unfortunately. Mental control tactics that are meant to render the other to be insecure, afraid, unconfident, and invalid are employed in these relationships. They call this, there's a word for it, gaslighting. Gaslighting is where you convince somebody of something. It's not true, but if you say it enough, you'll convince them. Remember when your little sister used to, you know, like if your sister hit you and you start crying and she go, oh, you're okay, I didn't hit you. And suddenly you're like, yeah, she didn't hit me. You get over it. You're okay. No, you're not okay. Your sister just hit you. You're upset. She needs to be spanked. But if she says it enough, oh, you're okay. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, in marriage, people employ this, and it renders their mate often to become an invalid emotionally. It could be things like, you're so stupid, nobody would want you. Yeah, you go ahead and leave. Who would have you? Where are you going to go? You can't make it without me. You say this enough to somebody. You can marry somebody who's absolutely gorgeous, but if you go to chipping away at it, telling her how ugly she is every other day, she'll start to believe she's absolutely ugly. And in doing that, you build this security that she ain't going anywhere because now she's broken down emotionally and doesn't think she's pretty at all or nobody would have her or she's too stupid to make it. And women do it to men. Men do it to women. And it's a horrible thing. And it's a form of abuse, a mental abuse. Many will stay in an abusive relationship because they have been led to feel incapable, ugly, ignorant, or useless. These planted thoughts make a person feel that they have nowhere to go. Often an abuser will come back with over-the-top sweetness after they've abused you. Apologies, promises, gifts. They may punch you in the face and then go buy you a necklace to get you to come back. Many will at some point have enough and find the strength to leave, but it is listed in it causes a divorce. Listen, I want to say this to any woman that may be listening to me, maybe even on live feed. You don't need to be in a relationship that you're horrified of.
Right.
And although we are not for divorce, the original intent of divorce was to protect women from abuse and hurt and harm. Back in those days, men that were unhappy with their wives could kill their wives. Sharia law, it still happens today. That's why we need to vote everything always against Sharia law in Texas. Again, the Bible gave rights to women and respect to women, and it's normally the female that's in danger of this, but not always. There are men that are even physically abused, and a lot of men are emotionally abused, made to feel stupid, dumb, made to feel useless. And it's a form of abuse. And boy, it is a bad problem. Let me give you the I'm almost done. Substance abuse is on the list. Substance abuse. This includes alcohol and illegal and even abused dependency on legal prescription drugs that have taken over a spouse's life. Their codependency makes them have jackal and Hyde mood swings, depression, financial problems, loss of jobs, abusiveness. Often you'll hear things like, "Dad's a good man, but when he's drunk, he's somebody else." "Mom's a good woman, but when she's on drugs, she's somebody else." You'll hear that a lot. This person can become difficult to reason with when they're on their addictions. Dangerous. I wonder how many murders have happened due to somebody who was stoned when they dealt with their mate. I wonder how many prison cells are full of people who were not murderers in heart, but they were drunk, or they were on some kind of drug substance when they committed the crime that landed them in prison. If you're married to somebody with drug and alcohol dependency, they can literally be dangerous people sometimes. I wonder how many little kids have been beat to a pulp by a drunk dad who would have never done that sober. I wonder how many women huddle in a room tonight horrified of their husband coming home because he always stops off and has a few. Sometimes he comes home a monster. He never would do that. I'll never forget the story that was told by the great preacher, R.G. Lee, pastored in Memphis, Tennessee. He told a story about a young man that came to his office one day and knocked on the door to see him. And the young man came in. The young boy, for whatever reason, only had one leg. He walked with an old wooden cane or a crutch that he had under his left arm as he was missing his left leg. And he asked if R.G. Lee would come and preach the funeral for their father, who was about to be executed for murdering their mother. He wanted him to come to the prison to pray with his father and then preach the funeral that was going to come after the execution. And he shared this. He said, "Dad was a good man. He was a good dad. And it wasn't him, it was alcohol. It was alcohol." And in a drunken rage one day, that father came home and murdered their mother. You see that substance abuse can be a monster, can make good people into monsters. And you see that paranoia can come out of it. They become sloppy, emotional, undependable, often very lazy in their dependency. So these are listed as the top 8 reasons statistically that American marriages end up dissolved. As a professional counselor, I've seen all of these at play in marriages that are in peril. Now, in lesson 2, which will be coming next week, I'll explain what living on Krypton is all about and how the Lord used this to help me see what happens in marriages as time unfurls, things that all marriages deal with, and how to survive these things as they happen to you. I hope you'll stay tuned to me. We've got a lot of good stuff coming in that portion of it, and we'll be kicking that off next week. Let's bow for a word of prayer. We've covered a lot. I went a little longer tonight, but I didn't want to continue this to another Sunday night. I wanted to wrap it up. So thank you for bearing with me these extra 10 or so minutes that we took tonight. But